And then you go back to reading Psalms. I have the right crowd, right? So we've read Genesis 15 many times, and we've read through it, but it's an easy one to miss here when we look at this truth that comes in this, of this after these things. It begs the question, after what things? And it's important to note that, because the content of chapter 15 is directly connected or related to what happened before it. So that being the case, I then have to go back and say, so after what things? What happened that brought us to this place where God gave these words to Abraham, where Abraham said these words, Abram, who will become Abraham, said these words to God? So consider them with me quickly. The first one was the call. Abram was there, and I'll refer to him as Abraham at times in the message, although his name gets changed later, but you know who he is. He goes through a name change, and Abraham is there, and God calls him to go to a land that he would show him. So you're going to go to a land that I would show him, and he does it. That's the first thing that happens. I want you to imagine that. Where are the wives in the room? All the wives, wave at me. Come on, wave at me. Yeah, you're all in. Can you imagine you come home one day this week and there's a U-Haul truck in front of the house and your husband is in there and he's putting things in boxes and you're like, what are we doing? What is going on? And he says, we're moving. God told me to move. And you say, well, where are we moving to? He said, I don't even know. We're just going to start driving the truck till God says stop. And think about that. I think there's a lot of wives that would say, call me when you get there. And we'll figure out if I'm coming along for the ride. And what do you mean drive? And that's what he does. But Abraham comes through with this one. God says, I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you. And he does it. He packs up the family. He leaves. He demonstrates tremendous faith. That's the first thing. It says after these things. The next thing that happens is a famine takes place. And when the famine takes place, there's nothing to eat. This is not a day of import-export of the same magnitude of today. In a famine, things were going to get brutally difficult. Still happens in much of the world. And he doesn't know what to do, but he's in the place where God called him, but he leaves. He shouldn't have left, but he does. He leaves. He leaves the land God called him to, and he goes down to Egypt. And when he goes down to Egypt, he says to his wife, what's his wife's name? Yeah, I heard both. It becomes Sarah, but it's Sarai at this time, right? Sarai, just like my Sarai right here. So he says, that's kind of cute, my Sarai. You should say R or something. Yeah, so he says to her, listen, I'd have to say this about my wife. You're really beautiful. They might kill me to get to you. Now, this is not, I wouldn't really say it like that. This is like every woman's dream. A man who would say, when somebody comes and wants her, is like, oh, you know, I don't even know who she is, and just backs off. I don't want any trouble. And so Abraham says, tell him you're my sister. She was technically his half-sister, although that sounds crazy. But he was lying. He was lying. Half-truth. It wasn't true. It was still a lie. It was a whole lie. And he did this to save his own neck while he was down in Egypt. So the first thing that happened was he was a mighty man of faith who left by faith to go where God called him. But the next thing that happened is he totally blows it. He totally blows it. He leaves where God called him to. He lies. He doesn't trust God. He isn't a man of faith in that situation. And yet, when he leaves Egypt, he leaves a very wealthy man. God still blesses him abundantly in that land. How many of you have to say that there's some blessings of God over your life, and you sure didn't do anything to deserve it? Amen? It was all the grace of God. It was all the grace of God. Well, that happens in his life as well. The next thing that happens is there's a dispute. He gets back to the promised land. He's there with his nephew Lot, and they're too wealthy. They're too big, and the shepherds are arguing over the sheep get to drink from this well or that well, and who can do this? And no, this is where my sheep eat grass, and no, that's where your sheep eat grass. And finally, Abram brings Lot over, and he says, "Listen, there's too many of us. Let's split. Let's split. You go one way, I go the other way." This is the next thing that happens. So he tells Lot, "You can pick." Now you would think that Lot, being the younger and being the nephew, he would of course defer and say, oh, no, you uncle, you get to pick. But he doesn't do that. He's greedy. He looks around. He sees the lush land. I'll take that one. And Abram says, fine, and lets him have it. But when Lot leaves, God speaks to Abram and tells him, all this land, everywhere you can see, it's all going to be yours. And God gives him a promise. So now he comes through. He comes through in humility. He's staying in the land. He's trusting God. Then the next thing that happens is the war. What do you mean the war? All these kings come. They come and attack the area, and Lot, his nephew, somehow has ended up over close to Sodom. He's not in it yet, but he's headed in that direction. And many of us, we've had people in our own families, and it used to be us as well, who you see them heading in the wrong direction, right? Come on, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, grandpa, grandma, you see that young one heading in the wrong direction, it's time to fight for him. It's time to intercede for him. It's time to stand in the gap for him. In Abraham's situation, it's a physical battle. He gets an army together. It's kind of a Gideon kind of story. He only has 318 men. They go out. He splits them in half. They surround all these kings and their armies, and he attacks them because these guys, when they came in, they had taken Lot captive. So he goes in and he attacks them to get his family back. He fights for his family. Come on, you got to fight for your family. Are you with me? Do you know that nothing that I ever have stewardship of on earth, of all the things that I ever have stewardship of over in earth, whether it's my car, my whatever, my cell phone, my iPad, my run list, anything I have on earth, the money you get, we're stewards of all of it. Nothing that I have stewardship of over on earth can go to heaven with me except one thing. There's only one thing. There is something. People say you came into earth with nothing. Nothing's going with you. There is one thing that you get stewardship of on earth that can go to heaven with you, and that's your kids. Yes. That's your kids. That is the only thing that you have stewardship of on earth that can go to heaven as well. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll drag my kids in kicking and screaming if I have to. Come on. Because I'm not letting them go to hell. But, oh, no, you're coming along for the ride, buddy. So you're ready, man. You stand in the gap. You pray for your kids. He fights for his family. He fights for his nephew, his wife, his nieces, his great nieces, all that. So that's the war. And then the last thing that happens is the tithe. When he gets back from the battle, he has all the spoils of war, and Melchizedek the priest is there, and Abraham tithes to him. Abraham at that time, he tithes to him, gives him 10% of the increase, and shows this generosity of he recognizes how God has blessed him in his life. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of things. You see him there. He's called, he goes. The famine takes place, he blows it. The dispute, he comes through all right. The war, he does well. The tithe, he's very generous in his response. After these things, somebody say after these things. After these things, we get to Genesis 15. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of things that happened along the way. A lot of things happened in his life. A lot went on. Things went on that were great things. Things went on that weren't so great. Now let me read the first three verses to you again of Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. That happens after those things. After those things that took place there. And actually, I could have put those verses up for you, but you got them and you're following along there with that. So let me jump into that to catch that. At first glance at that prayer, it almost looks like God comes to Abram in a vision, which that does happen, and God says, Abram, don't be afraid. I'm your shield and your very great reward. And it almost looks like Abram then prays, yeah, but what have you done for me lately? You said I was going to have a kid. You said a great nation was going to come from me, but I don't have a child. It hasn't really happened. It seems like the prayer kind of starts that way. But then he does this abrupt shift of gears. He changes gears in his prayer, and he goes in a whole different direction in verse number 3, where he says, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Say this with me. Say, it hasn't happened yet. We all go through things. We all go through things in life, just like he did. We all go through things at home. We all go through things at work. We all go through things at school. We all go through things in life. And life can get pretty stressful at times. Life can get tough, and we all go through things. And the Bible tells us that these things happened with Abraham as well before we get to this text. But things happen in our lives also. Some good things, some bad things. Some things happen where we come through, and man, we are God's man of the hour. Sometimes you come through and you are God's woman of faith. You were exactly who you needed to be. You come through with flying colors, just like he did. But then other times things happen and we just fall flat on our faces and we blow it. Hello. And we just totally blow it. We blow it in our walks with God. We let fear, doubt control our decision making instead of faith. And we're not led by the Word or by the Spirit. And we're scared to do what God wants us to do. And we don't come through. And just like with him, these kind of things happen in our life. And in life as you live, good things happen, bad things happen, up, down, you go back and forth. And as they all occur, if we're not careful, a sort of spiritual erosion can occur in our lives where faith is worn down. And faith that was at one time strong can become to wear down and become weak when things happen in our lives. We're a people of faith, right? Come on, we're a people of faith. That's who we are. We're a people of faith. But time and situations and life take place, even as they did with Abram, and faith can grow dim. And when enough time passes and enough things happen, you can find yourself, if you will, that faith becoming very weak in your life as that spiritual erosion takes place in your life. You see, Abraham had received a very specific promise from God. A very specific one. God had spoken to him very specifically and told him, I'm going to make a great nation come from you. I'm going to do that. But it hadn't happened yet. It hadn't happened yet. Come on, say it with me one more time. It hasn't happened yet. So he hasn't experienced it. You and I are a people who have been promised things by God as well. Not just him. You've been. I've been. Now, we are a people with two convictions with regard to how God speaks to us. We are a people of the Word, and we are a people of the Spirit. That's who we are. I want you to catch that. We're a people of the Word, and we're a people of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means when I open up my Bible and I read the Word, God speaks to me. Are you with me? We're a people of the Word. And the Word is the ultimate measure of everything God would say. But we don't only believe God speaks to us through the Bible. We believe that the Bible is what keeps everything in check. But we also believe that God speaks in a still small voice to our hearts. We also believe that God calls us to do things. That God speaks to our hearts and lays promises on our hearts and directs us in ways. Now, if that promise was contrary to the Word of God, then I would know that's not God. That's not God. But we know that God does this and God directs us in these ways. In my own life, this past year, my wife and I were in a season of wrestling in prayer over what to do and what was next in our lives. And I was reading one day in Deuteronomy of all places. And God, you know, how can you God speak to you through Deuteronomy? Anyway, so I'm reading Deuteronomy, and as I'm reading through there, I read a verse, and God was speaking to Moses, and I read the verse that said, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough." And when I read that verse, it was like it leapt off the page at me, and I knew it was a prophetic word from God to me. God was saying, it's time for you to go somewhere. Now, I didn't know where it would be. If God had said it's Silver Spring and it showed me, you ought to have been like, that ain't happening. No, I'm just kidding. I love it here. but it was a word from God. It was a word from God. We believe God speaks to us still today. Come on, you believe that, right? God still speaks to us. He speaks to our hearts. He directs us in certain ways. So we're a people of the Word, and we're a people of the Spirit. We believe this. For Abraham, he's a man who was promised by God at the age of 75 that a great nation would come from him. It was a promise from God. You've been promised things in your life as well by God, and probably some things that you can recall, that you can remember when God promised you a specific thing, and it might have been years ago, but it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. And it could be many things. It could be marriage. It could be a child. It could be related to business and ministry or a location or a home or your family or so many different things. But we also believe that God has promised us things in our lives. But here's the thing. Things happen. Things happen. That's what happened with Abram. He's been promised by God, but then things happen, and what happens in our lives is days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and the promise that was so powerful and was so fresh in our lives, and the call in our lives, over time can be eroded, and although we knew it was God, as things happen, things where we do well and things where we don't do well, if we're not careful, we can make the tragic mistake that he made, and I believe many of us do it at times, where if you will, we start to set the promise of God aside. Abram is here with God, and God comes to him and speaks to him, and he prays a prayer where at first he says, you know, God, I don't have a kid. And then he does this turnaround in his prayer in verse number 3 where he says, you know what, God? Eleazar can be my heir. You know what he does? He offers God an out. He offers God an out. He gives him another way to do it. Now, at first glance, that seems crazy. But had we lived in his day, it was a perfectly acceptable custom in that day if you did not have a son for your servant to become your heir. You would adopt them into your family, and they would become your heir. And he offers God that plan. He offers God a plan of where, God, I know I don't have a kid. I know you said a great nation would come from me. But you know what? Things have happened. And since things have happened, I know this isn't what you promised. I know I heard from you. I know this isn't really what you said. But if you will, and I've got some boxes with me that are actually going to help me with this. I want to grab them and bring them over here. He takes the son promise. He takes the promise that he'll be a great nation. And he says, God, I know this is what you promised. It's like he takes it and he sits it over on a shelf and sets it aside and says, God, I know that's what you said, but you know what? Things have happened. Things have happened. And I haven't always been who you called me to be. And I haven't always come through the way you wanted me to come through. And sometimes, God, I've done well, but sometimes I've really blown it in my walk with you. And God, I know that's what you said, but some things happened. So you know what, God? It's all right. Eleazar can be my heir. And I don't believe that Abram doubts God. I don't believe that he's even angry with God. He's angry with himself. He's not disappointed in God. He's disappointed in himself. He doesn't believe that God has failed him. He believes that he has failed God. And because, God, I haven't always been, because things have happened, God, I'm going to set that aside. I know it was you. And this will be all right. This will be enough. Eleazar is okay, God. I can have that. The thing is, this happens with us as well. This happens with us in our lives also. There's somebody in here that somewhere along the way, you believe God promised you that your spouse was going to come to faith in Christ, that your kids were going to come home to the faith. And then you can come to the place where they look like they are so far away from it, they'll never come, where you could actually say, you know what, God? I believe that was your promise, but I haven't really been the wife or the husband I should have been. And I haven't really been the parent that I should have been. So you know what, God? I know that was you. But if it never happens, God, it's all right. You didn't fail me. I failed you. It's okay, God. I'm going to stick it on the shelf. You know what, God? I remember that time I was in prayer, and you laid on my heart that someday I was going to start a business, and it was going to support my family, and I was going to be able to give out of it and support ministry and do things. God, I know it was you, but things happened. Things happened, and God, days turned into weeks, turned into months, turned into years, and God, I know that was you, but you know what, God? If it never happens, it's all right. It's all right. I'll put it over here on the shelf. God, I know you called me. I know you set me apart to an area of ministry. I know, God, you told me you were going to take me on a missions trip. You told me I was going to do this specific thing. But God, I haven't really been as godly as I should have been. I haven't really come through the way I was supposed to. God, if it doesn't happen, it's all right. God, I know you promised a miracle in my life. You told me you were going to do this thing that only you could do. But God, I haven't really been who I should have been. I haven't come through. So you know what, God? You're off the hook. You're off the hook. Eleazar is enough. Eleazar, it's okay, God. If that's all I get, that's going to be fine. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, you remember how the father responds when the prodigal son comes home? He's practiced his speech. He's rehearsed his speech for his dad. He never even gets to give it because the dad runs out and throws his arms around him and is so glad he's there. This account's a little bit like that one. It's a little bit like that one. You know what, God? Eleazar can be my heir. That's enough. And when he says that, the Bible says God took Abram outside. He took him outside. Can you help me, young man? Come here real quick. He took him outside. I picture it like him taking his arm around. Stand on this side, since I'm right-handed, and I'll be confused if you're on that side. I don't know what to do. God takes him outside. Now remember, Abram's just prayed it. God came to him and said that. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. And then he praised him. You know what, God? I never got what you said, but it's all right, because I got this. This is okay. Eleazar's enough. And God takes him outside and he tells him, look up. Look up. You see those stars? Can you count them? Can you count those stars? Man, I remember when I was in Kenya. My brother here is in Kenya. Where were you at in Kenya? Nairobi. You can't really see them as good in Nairobi because you're still in the city. But you can see them. But I was out in the Thailand in Kenya, and I remember looking up at the stars, and there were thousands upon thousands of stars because we were so far away from the city. It was amazing. I always thought if God told Abraham in New York City to look up, Abraham would have thought he was going to have two kids in an airplane. He would have, yeah. You know? he said, look up. Look up. He's like, you see them? Can you count them? You can't count them. I know it's hard to see him in here. There's one really bright one right there in your face. God tells him, he's not going to be your heir. Eleazar is not going to be your heir. Stay right there. And God goes and takes the son off the shelf and says, this is what I told you I was going to do. And yeah, some things have happened. And sometimes you've been great, and sometimes you've really blown it. But no matter what happened, it doesn't change what I promised. I told you that this is what was going to happen, so this is what's going to happen. And in that context, God comes to him, and he tells him, Abram, I know some things have happened. I've been with you all along, but the deal's still on. He says, but this will not be your heir, but a son will come from your own body who will be your heir. And that's when he takes him out. There's somebody in here that somewhere along the way, God promised you that you were going to start a business, but it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet. Anybody in here believe God told you someday you were going to start a business? And it hasn't happened, but I want to know that it hasn't happened yet. Did you start it yet? No? I want you to put that back in your heart. I want you to put that back in your heart, all right? Because God says, man, if I told you I was going to do it, I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. Somebody in here, you believe God promised you that your spouse or your children were going to come to faith in Christ, but it hasn't happened yet. Who's got unsaved family members you're believing for? And it hasn't happened yet. God says, hey, the deal's still on. Somebody in here, you believe God called you to a specific place of ministry, but it hasn't happened yet. It didn't happen yet. Where are you at? You know what God says? The deal's still on. The deal's still on. Somebody in here, you believe for a miracle. You believe God was going to do something supernatural in your life, but it hasn't happened yet. Where are you? You're waving your hand. It's got to go to you all the way in the back, all the way over there. All the way to you. God says, the deal's still on. God says, I'm who gave the promise. I'm who gave the promise. You can't offer me an out. You can't tell me no Eleazar will do. I said the nation was coming from you. I said it was coming out of you. That's what I'm going to do. It's not going to come from someone else. Put your hand on your heart. Come on, put your hand on your heart. What has God put in there? What has God spoken to your heart? What did God tell you somewhere along the way? Where did he say he was going to take you? What did he say he was going to do in your life? What promise did he say he was going to give you? Man, we don't want to be guilty of saying, you know what, God? I know it was you, but things have happened. So you know what, God? If I get something less than that, it's all right, God. I won't be mad at you. I won't be upset with you. It's not you, God. It's me. It's me. And God says, no, 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 no. That's not how this is going to work. God says, I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. The deal's still on. The deal's still on. You did awesome, young man. Go sit down. That's the promise of God. Do you know that Joshua, in fact, if anything's going back on the shelf, no, we don't even put him on the shelf. Let's get rid of him. Yeah, we don't want all these. If anything, actually, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. It's coming in. Joshua, at the end of his life, he prays this, or he declares this. He says it in Joshua 21:45. He says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. I believe over you and I that on our deathbed, we will be able to declare the exact same thing. It might not all happen in my timing, but when my life is done, I will also be able to look back and say, everything God told me he was going to do, he did it in my life. And it doesn't matter that things happened. God is God. And God is greater than anything I've done or anything anybody else has done or anything else. God is God, and the deal's still on. The promise remains. Amen? Put your hand back on your heart. Put your hand back on your heart. Think about this with me as I pull this together. Would you ever believe anyone who has lied to you as much as your fears have? You wouldn't. My fears lie to me. They cause doubt and anxiety in my life. They tell me that's not going to happen, and you're never going to go there, and that isn't going to take place. And my fears lie to you. You think about things, and all of a sudden you create scenarios in your mind that never even occur. They never even happen along the way. And you would never believe anyone who has lied to you as much as your fears have. But how could we doubt one who is as faithful as God? As faithful as God in our lives. If God said he was going to do it, God's going to do it. Amen? God's going to do it. I want to invite you to stand with me. Hallelujah. It's the promise of God. Now, I don't know what God has placed in your heart. I don't know what God has placed in your heart. But I do know this. I know God's word. And I know that whatever it is, what I want you to make sure you're doing today is I want you to, if you've put it aside, I want you to take it off the shelf. You say, man, I knew that I was going to go here, do this, be that, whatever, but it didn't happen. Things happened. It hasn't happened yet. Today's the day to take it off the shelf and put it back in your heart. God has promised things to our church collectively. Collectively, apart from any of us as individuals. He has promised things over this local church collectively. And we could look back, and many of you have been in this church for years, and you can recall times where God prophetically spoke or something unique happened where you knew it was God. And then we say, but things happened since then. And if you're not careful, you'll take what you knew was God's promise was, and we'll set it aside and say, if that never happens, it's okay, because things happen. And God says, take it back down off the shelf. The deal's still on. What I said I was going to do, I'm still going to do it. Because he's bigger than we are. He's bigger than we are collectively in this, because it's about him and in our lives as well as individuals. And I want you to take it back off the shelf, to place it within you, and to believe God for it. To believe God for it. We're going to sing this song through once.